One-third of Durham students forced to stay home as hundreds of employees protest pay, what they want before returning to work, and hear from parents ready for changes.
Future cast is showing warmer and drier weather when we see a double-digit temperature jump.
Then the internet. It's something we all use and for some people harder to pay for. We go in depth on affordability and access. Right now at 7, about a third of Durham public school students could not go to class today as staff protested over pay issues. 12 schools were closed, impacting more than 10,000 children. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Protests and walkouts have continued for weeks now. Today, you see these shots of teachers at two different locations rallying for hours. Classified staff, which is a group that includes instructional assistants and physical and occupational therapists, are impacted by these pay issues. Teachers aren't, but many wanted to rally to support their colleagues, who they call the glue of the school system.
Even though this doesn't affect my pocket personally, it affects everything else around me, including my son, including the colleagues I work with, and it's just, this is not equitable, this is not fair.
The school board meets again this Friday at 3 p.m. to discuss this issue further. The Durham Association of Educators is calling for the board not to reduce classified staff salaries.
These weeks-long protests and sick-outs are no doubt putting parents and students in a bind. However, WRAL's Eric Miller spoke with some today who said they understand and sympathize with teachers and staff demands, as disruptive as they can be.
Many parents we talked to acknowledge the inconvenience of their kids being out of school today, but said that inconvenience is worth it if it means the staff their children depend on get the pay and support they need.
The mighty, mighty union.
The signs are different, but the message is the same.
I think that it's more important to be here fighting for our classified workers and our staff than it really is to be in our class.
Kaylee Ressler and Eloise Westcott are both seniors at Riverside High. Wednesday afternoon, they joined dozens protesting outside DPS's central offices, standing in solidarity with their teachers and other school workers after weeks of disruptions.
Like the first day, all the classified staff were out. They had to order pizza for everybody who needed food. And I think that it's been far more chaotic.
Parents have been feeling the impacts too.
It's an uncertain situation and it makes you nervous.
I work in Raleigh. My husband works third shift, so I have to call and wake him up to make sure he's aware that he has to drive to the schools to pick them up.
Jessica Corbett has three kids in Durham Public Schools. She says these disruptions have been so difficult to deal with, she's been keeping her kids home since Monday.
I informed their teachers to please send home computers and worksheets that they could work on throughout the rest of the week so that we know they wouldn't be falling behind and that they would be getting some sort of instruction. But until something is resolved, they will be staying at home.
WRAL checked in with half a dozen Durham parents. Despite the difficulties, all said they sided with teachers and staff and say more needs to be done to support these workers.
I would just say listen to what the people are saying, because we're stating it and the DA is stating it very clearly.
In Durham, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Tonight, a suspected sex offender is facing new charges, accused of leading deputies on a high-speed chase near Wendell. One deputy hurt during all of this. We're told he's doing okay tonight. Today, the Wake County Sheriff's Office filed more charges against 41-year-old Rayshon Treadwell, including fleeing to elude arrest, resisting a public officer, and reckless driving. It was around 5 o'clock last night. Authorities were alerted that Treadwell was wanted for 28 child sex offenses. Deputies tried to stop him on Old Bunch Road, but Treadwell kept going. He is in jail tonight on no bond, due back in court tomorrow. Another one of the four Johnston County teens killed in a crash on I-95 last week was laid to rest today. A funeral service for 17-year-old Christopher Jackson happened today at Temple Baptist Church in Selma. Jackson is one of four teens who lost their lives in this terrible crash on January the 22nd. They were all students at Smithfield Selma High School. Funeral services were already held for two of the teens, Samaj Williams and Freddie Saras. The funeral for the fourth teenager who was killed, Alan Lockamy, is scheduled for Friday at 4 o'clock at United Methodist Church in Selma.
New at 7, military personnel stationed at Camp Lejeune from 1975 to 1985 had at least a 20% higher risk for a number of cancers than those stationed elsewhere. This is according to a new long-awaited study about the base's contaminated drinking water. The major study found military personnel stationed at Lejeune were at a higher risk for some types of leukemia and lymphoma and cancers of the lung, breast, throat, esophagus, and thyroid. Civilians who worked at the base were also at a higher risk for some cancers. Read more about these new findings at WREL.com. And lawmakers who discussed the closure of the state veterans home in Fayetteville say they left yesterday's meeting with even more questions. WREL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays talked with some of them today to get a better understanding about what's next for the 24-year-old building.
Now, the meeting in Raleigh lasted for more than an hour, and lawmakers wanted to know how a building that was supposed to last for 50 years shut down today after just 24 years of service.
Switching gears a little bit on the HVAC.
The meeting was polite, but at times contentious. State senators and representatives are concerned about the abrupt closing of the state veterans home in Fayetteville.
I'm very, very dismayed in some of the things that have transpired over this time. And I'll just be upfront about that.
A representative from the North Carolina Department of Military and Veterans Affairs told state leaders the building on Cochrane Avenue has structural and environmental concerns brought on by drainage problems and a leaky roof. Attempts to make repairs have not solved the problems. Senator Steve Jarvis, a professional contractor, told me today he's not buying that explanation.
I personally want to take a deep dive look. I've requested every document, every repair order that's been ordered on that facility. I've got some drawings from the original, and I plan to assess it from that standpoint.
The last of the 85 veteran residents moved out today. Sharon Daniels moved her 91-year-old mother to another local nursing home at her own expense.
Did they reimburse you for the move?
No, no, not at all.
You're entitled to that. You know that.
No, I did not.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you.
It's issues like that that have lawmakers outraged.
We need to be having exit interviews or whatever you want to call it to try to find out if the veterans are indeed taken care of and sooner rather than later.
The current building was built in 1999. They want to tear down the old structure and build a new state-of-the-art home for our veterans. But State Representative George Cleveland told me today he wants to know how the building reached a state of disrepair in such a short period of time.
It boils down to people that were responsible for taking care of the place down there didn't do the proper things to make sure there were no water problems and to take care of the building itself, in fact. It's a management problem.
Now, representatives from the State Department of Military and Veteran Affairs declined an interview, but they say they're doing everything possible to make sure the veterans who used to stay at this home are getting the best possible care at their new ones. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
And lawmakers are holding another meeting in late February about this. They want engineers who made assessments on the building to be present. They also hope that retired Lieutenant General Walter Gaskin will be on hand to answer questions. He's actually in charge of the state's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Safety advocates are demanding now a recall of an infant rocker after another child's death. A six-month-old kid rolled over and suffocated while in this Fisher-Price infant-to-toddler rocker in November. This is according to a report filed on saferproducts.gov. Consumer Reports says at least 13 other deaths have been linked to this product. Fisher-Price put out a warning notice in 2022, telling parents not to let their children sleep in these rockers. Consumer Reports says the warning wasn't enough and a recall is needed.
Starting tomorrow, animal surrenders will resume at the Way County Animal Center, but with new rules. Owners giving up their pets will have to apply and make an appointment first. The shelter hopes this will help them avoid overcrowding, which would then mean euthanizing animals. But just because they're restarting this process doesn't mean they will accept your surrender.
Right now, our dog floor is pretty full, so we might not even be able to take in any dogs at this point, but we have room for our cats and our little critters, so it's just going to be an ongoing application process.
The center suspended surrenders at the beginning of the month because they had been over capacity for 2 years.
The internet is something that we all use if we have access to it. Some of us have a hard time paying for that access. We go in depth on affordability and the folks trying to get internet where they live. That's coming up next. Plus, a local high school is spotlighting the importance of STEM among girls and the change makers sharing their career paths. She looks familiar. That's ahead. Kat?
And we saw a little bit of rain this morning, but we may not see any more rain for quite some time. I'm tracking when our next system could potentially arrive coming up.
Oh, boy, this was a big topic for everybody at home. So we're going to dive into the inbox tonight. So many of you wrote in sharing your experiences with internet access. Phyllis said, I'm fortunate so far to be able to afford the service. However, it is becoming increasingly difficult to pay for it. Deborah wrote in and said, for me, it's expensive, but at least it's available. Fred just kind of nickeled and dimed me a little bit over the names of the streaming services that we were describing. He said, Max is the new name of what used to be HBO Max. And Showtime, sorry, it doesn't exist anymore. The correct name is Paramount Plus. Fred, look. I'm a purist. It's always going to be HBO to me. But who can keep up anyway? First it was HBO, then it was HBO Go, then HBO Max or Now or whatever. I'm doing my best, okay? But you are right. Mark, on the other hand, was less critical, actually found the story soothing somehow. He said, thanks for that. It was a nice way to drink a cup of tea and eat chocolate after dinner. Mark seems to have things figured out. But here's one that got us thinking. Kathy writes in and says, I'm wondering if the EBT discount for the public is still in place, or has that program been discontinued? So, I got some answers for you. Pretty much all of the big internet providers have discount programs. A handful, they say people receiving SNAP actually qualify for lower prices. Xfinity, Verizon, AT&T, all of them have this. Other programs actually make the list too. So if you're on national school lunch programs or Social Security, the community eligibility provision, Medicaid or WIC, there may be some discounts out there for you. It all depends on where you live. All the big providers, including Spectrum, mention the program we discussed last week, the ACP, the Affordable Connectivity Program. This can save you up to $30 a month. But again, that thing is going to be running out of money by April. Congress will decide if it gets more money and if it lives or dies. This whole idea of lawmakers deciding the fate of internet access got some of you thinking about the town of Wilson. Maria wrote in saying Wilson started laying cable lines years before Time Warner, now Spectrum, thought about moving to the eastern part of the state. Yes, Senator Tom Tillis brought a bill to the legislature that essentially said that those communities could not expand their services beyond their counties. Maria, thank you for this email. You are on to something. Wilson is an oasis of affordable broadband access because the county actually has its own municipal broadband provider called Greenlight. So check out these prices, $40 a month to $100 a month, a decent range there. There are more than 750 local governments nationwide that actually offer services like this. Wilson, though, is the only one in North Carolina. There used to be two, actually, in our state. Salisbury had it until Big Telecom. They stepped in. They didn't like the idea of more competition. This all went down in the early 2000s. Wilson County went back and forth with the big providers for years, and after negotiations failed, they built their own network. They wanted to branch it out. They wanted to expand it to other towns. But in 2006, Time Warner Cable, AT&T, and CenturyLink all teamed up to fight it.
It's an issue of fair competition and local government not using their taxing and borrowing authority in a way that gives them a competitive advantage against private business.
This isn't just David versus Goliath. This is David versus Goliath and all his cousins.
Well, David and Goliath, or, well, Goliath and all the cousins, they lobbied lawmakers. In 2011, they got their way. Republicans won the majority in both the state Senate and the House, and at the time, Tom Tillis was the Speaker of the House. They passed HB 129. That was known as the Level Playing Field of Local Government Competition Bill. Not a very catchy title, but you get the point. Except it didn't so much as level the playing field as more likely bulldozed it altogether.
What this is Time Warner Cable's efforts
to cut out municipalities as a potential competitor. And it is a monopolistic bill from word go. We still have people who are largely underserved throughout many areas in our state.
Some people tried challenging that law, but they came up short with the FCC and the courts. Today, North Carolina is one of 17 states with a ban on these municipal broadband plans. So yeah, lawmakers, they do hold the keys in more ways than one. They could fund and extend the ACP benefits. They could undo the law that blocks cities from taking the reins and doing things themselves. Or they could just do nothing. We'll see. All of it's just another reason why understanding local news and local politics is so important. Keep on sharing your feedback on this subject or any other. We read through all of your emails. Please reach out, dan@wrl.com. Let me know what else you want to talk about right here at 7 o'clock. And, of course, we will go in depth. And just in case you can't get enough or you'd rather, catch my stories, the in-depths on the go, you can now listen to them as a podcast. Find WRL In-Depth with Dan Haggerty in the Apple Podcast or on Spotify. Look at that nice suit I'm wearing. Boy, I look very official in that picture. You can find it alongside all of the other podcasts on WRL.com. All you got to do is search for podcast, Ashley.
See, now you can take Dan with you on your dog walks, maybe in the car with you, wherever you want to go.
Oh, boy.
It's a fascinating topic, Dan, truly, truly. Let's send things over to meteorologist Kat Campbell. Speaking of going for a dog walk or spending time outside, it looks like tomorrow, Kat, is going to be a nice one.
It's going to be really, really nice out tomorrow. Make sure you are dressing in layers. When you wake up, it's going to be chilly outside. You'll have a nice clear sky. Should be right around freezing in the morning. But as we get into tomorrow afternoon, check out these temperatures. They rebound. We're back up to 60 for the high, and that comes with a clear, crisp blue sky. It'll be beautiful outside tomorrow. By lunchtime, we should be back up to 52. We take a live look at the WRAL live camera network this evening. Goldsboro, it's a nice day. Apex, the road's drying out nicely there, as well as in Chapel Hill. This is a live look from Top of the Hill Restaurant. And hello to everybody in Franklinton. This is a live look from Mason and Main there in Franklinton. We saw a little rain earlier today. It was a light rain that we saw. But it moved out by lunchtime for most of us as expected. The rainfall winners, so to say, are in the blue here. That's where we saw about half an inch of rain in parts of Chatham County, as well as a sliver of Lee County and Moore County. Elsewhere, it was about a quarter of an inch of rain or less in green. That system, it moved in quickly and it moved out quickly. It will continue to move away from us. As it does so tonight, it's going to take the clouds with it. And today was really our best chance for rain out of the next 7 days. The next potential rainmaker, and there's still a lot of question marks there, is this system that's over the Pacific Ocean right now. It is going to approach as we get into the weekend, but we have a very interesting jet stream pattern that's setting up and making the forecast pretty complicated as we get into the next week. So you've got this system right here, but watch what happens as we get toward the end of the week and into the weekend. Here's where that system is now. It's right here, but we have what we call an omega blocking pattern setting up. So you can see this kind of looks like the Greek alphabet, the omega there. It is preventing systems to our west at the jet stream from reaching us. They just kind of reach a wall and they can't keep moving east. So it's tricky, the evolution, to figure out the system. As of right now, it looks like it may actually cut itself off from the jet stream and track south of us and keep most of the rain south of here. That's why we lowered rain chances. But bottom line, we'll continue to watch this pattern for you. For tonight, low temperatures are going to be dipping into the low to mid 30s. It's chilly again in the morning, but beautiful tomorrow afternoon. Up to 62 in Fayetteville tomorrow, 61 in Goldsboro, 59 in Durham, 58 degrees in South Hill. After tomorrow's 60, we're not done with the 60s yet. 63 on Friday. We'll see partly cloudy skies develop as a weak cold front swings in. That'll knock temperatures down a little bit over the weekend. It's still dry for the weekend. Highs in the mid to upper 50s. Overall, it's looking pretty good for the next several days for outdoor plans.
Yeah, Kat, thank you.
Still ahead, another out-of-this-world discovery to tell you about. What astronomers know about this new type of star coming up.
Some good news for Carolina Hurricanes goaltender Freddie Anderson.
This was great to see. So the team says he is actually set to resume on-ice activities. You remember back in November, Anderson was diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis and multiple pulmonary embolisms. Very serious stuff. He's been working on recovery, though, off the ice for weeks. He will soon start limited on-ice conditioning. Anderson says he is thrilled to get the step closer to joining his teammates again. Good luck to him.
Yeah, that's great.
Dozens of high school girls got to learn from successful professionals in the STEM field today.
The event is part of the Enterprising Women Foundation mentoring program, and our very own Lena Tillett moderated, and producer Miriam Melvin participated in the panel portion of the forum. The panelists all shared their paths to success. Students had the opportunity to connect with a possible mentor, learn about financial literacy, and two of them walked away with a scholarship.
Just be represented as a Black woman, you know, seeing a bunch of Black women actually succeeding, coming from different backgrounds, just really means a lot to me.
Yeah, the founder of the organization says it's a way to bridge the gap and address underrepresentation of women in STEM fields. Very cool.
Lena told me it was unbelievable.
Yeah, she loved it.
She said, when you're talking to teenagers, sometimes you can't tell if you're connecting with them or not.
She connected.
But then afterward, everybody was coming up to her, so she was very pleased.
Yeah. Durham is celebrating 100 years of parks and recreation, and they want your help to design a cover for the Play More Guide.
They are looking for youth creative minds to share their best artwork inspired by the centennial event. That means photographers and graphic designers, cartoonists, you name it, be creative and submit something. The best design will then be chosen for the cover later this year. Three winners will be selected. For entry details, you can visit the Parks and Rec website. Astronomers have discovered, if you can believe it, a new type of star. It's called an old smoker.
I really like the name. The stars are old and stay inactive for decades, fading into the dark sky. And then once they're almost invisible, they start emitting clouds of smoke and dust. Researchers couldn't see them before because they're near the center of the Milky Way and obscured by dust and gas. They found it using a Chilean telescope in the Andes Mountain that can detect infrared light, these infrared cameras. And what they're able to do is remarkable.
It's also that they give you such gorgeous images. Mm-hmm. Of space when you see all the things that the infrared can detect. Gorgeous.
Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50, and then we'll see you right back here on WREL tonight at 11.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.